Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Amen. Some of you just got scared. Think we're taking a busload now. But really now? No. No, but hey, if the Lord was to come back today, I'm ready to go. Amen. Amen. I'm ready to go. I thought about this morning singing. We sung that song, but we didn't know if we should sing I'm in the Way or something like that for Father's Day, because I hear that a lot, you know. I shall not be moved. That's our Father's Day hymn. It's the... I don't know, but that's good to be at church this morning, isn't it? Amen, amen.
I appreciate Brother Levi's prayer, thanking the Lord for being our Heavenly Father. I'm thankful to have my earthly father still alive and with me and able to pester me and drive me crazy. And because he's not paying any attention, that's why I said that. He had his back to me. He had his back to me, so I can get away with saying all that. Love you. He still don't know what I'm talking about. But the most important thing is our Heavenly Father. And I had a text this morning asking if we could have the trio do this song. And I'm glad our Heavenly Father is with us today in the presence of Jehovah.
This tug of war in me. with the answers that I need. But then I come into your presence, and all my questions become clear.
Earlier from all those that are dealing with situations where they've been hospitalized this week, and we've had other news that's come to us about health situations, and it's good to know that we can be in His presence but that he's in our presence. Going through the firewoods. Yeah, you pray for William as he sings through the fire.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration, it gets so out of hand. Oh, but it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. It's then I look at all those past victories and I'm reminded all God's done for me. And to stir the fire, my weakness is made strong. Oh,
he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard.
Micah chapter 7. You know, today's Father's Day, and let me tell you what we preachers like. Oh, by the way, this was given to me a while ago. It's a little, I guess, a lapel pin, I guess. And I don't know who gave it, but who gave that? I thought it might be Brother Eddie. Thank you, Brother Eddie. I didn't have time to. Was it you, Brother Eddie? it was okay. Thing I didn't have time to put it on, but I'll definitely use that later on. But here's what we like to do. We like to use these special days to challenge, in this case, it will be fathers, challenge them to be the men they should be. And man, and sometimes we go after the throat a little bit, trying to help men help their families. But I'm not going to do that this morning, because I've done that for 9 years and it ain't doing any good. You're just as lazy and unspiritual as you ever were. I'm not going to waste my time anymore on that. If God can't do it and your wife can't do it, I can't do it. If you have your Bibles, I want to tell you about our Father today. You see, our Father, we can call him that if we know him. We know him, he's ours. If there's been a time in your life when you recognize yourself as a dirty, rotten sinner that needed to be saved, you bowed your head and with all your heart and mind asked Jesus to save your wretched soul, you can say he's our Father. Excuse me, folks. You can say that with confidence and godly pride. I'm not prideful to be a Christian, but I sure am proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to call Jesus Christ my Father. So there's some things about our Father I just want to look at today. I want to brag on him, because you and I are not worthy to be bragged upon. I love the Lord this morning. And I got to tell you, I don't love him for what he does for me on a daily basis, which is a lot, by the way. Can't complain. But I love him for what he did for all of us 2,000 years ago. I love him. What I find, the older I get, this Father is getting more and more forgetful. This Father. But I've got some good news, because that doesn't affect you one way or the other until I get up here and I become so forgetful that I just stand up here and drool a little bit. But I've got some good news. Our Heavenly Father is forgetful. You say, well, isn't he all-knowing? And yeah, he sure is. But he's got a streak in him, a streak of forgetfulness that you and I should appreciate. Because in Micah chapter 7 shares with us this thing that we've come to call the sea of forgetfulness. Who, in verse 18, is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Amen. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thusly, the sea of forgetfulness. I thank God that he forgets some things. There's none of us here who have perfect children, but there's a deep love that we have for those kids that causes us to quickly forget the deeds that they have done wrong. We have to really stop and focus and look back and try to remember and dig up those things to recall them. But our Father, which thrives on mercy, loves you and I enough that he has taken all that we've done wrong and he's cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. He tells us in Psalm 103, verse 12, concerning our sins, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions. And ladies and gentlemen, not only has he removed our transgressions from his mind, but the next two words is, he removed our transgressions from us. So not only has he forgotten our transgressions, he's removed them as well. So I'm glad that our Father is the Father of forgetfulness. I tell you, I'm glad our Father is the Father of adoption. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Listen to this. That we might receive the adoption. Amen. Isn't that enough? He's the Father of forgetfulness, and he's the Father of our adoption. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, how? By Jesus Christ to himself. Amen. Now don't get scared because I use the word here, the Bible used the word here, predestinated. We have been predestined, predetermined by the Lord Jesus Christ to be his. And no, I'm not talking about hyper-Calvinism. Let me clarify what I'm saying. When we, as parents, and today as a father, we have a predetermination of how we want our children to grow up and to walk and things we want them to achieve. Well, that's just like the Lord. He desires the best for us. And he determines in his heart that all should come to repentance. Am I right? That none should perish. You see. And so when the Bible's saying that he predestinated, it's not saying that he chose one to go to hell and chose another to go to heaven. I believe in the free will of men. God deals with the hearts, and that man or that woman, that boy or that girl determines whether or not they will say, take me, adopt me, I'm yours. So we've got a Father. Our Father, thank God he forgets. Our Father, thank God he adopts. Our Father is also the Father of torment. Say, are you saying, Pastor, that he would torment us? Well, absolutely not. Isaiah 53 says a few things about this torment. But it wasn't our torment, it was his torment. He is despised and rejected, verse 3 starts off. Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Folks, this is the description of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he was when he was here. And if you look up the word sorrows, it means he was a man of pain. He suffered pain like you and I. But ultimately, he suffered the pain of the cross. And this pain is not just a physical pain, but this pain also speaks of mental and emotional pain. There's nothing that we suffer that he has not suffered. He had the full experience when he was on this earth. He knows what we're going through, ladies and gentlemen. The pain of life, whether it be physical, financial, psychological, emotional, he has suffered these things. You may say, and I know some, even in this great congregation, suffers from anguish and sometimes deep depression. I want you to know God, our Father, knows exactly what you're going through. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And this word grief means sickness and disease. He was acquainted with these things. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? It's still going on today. The man of sorrows, the one that was despised and rejected. And we today are still turning our face from him. We can say, yes, that nasty, lost, and dying world, they turned their face from a saving Savior, a tormented Savior. Shame on them. But this we is the children of God. And he said, we. And we need to look in the mirror, Westside Baptist Church, for we had our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Remember the word? Pain. Mental pain. Physical pain, emotional pain. And he carried sickness and disease, rather, is what grief means. And he carried our sorrows. Now, this is the pain. This is the mental pain. This is the emotional pain. He carried them. Our Father was tormented. He knows what you're going through. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the discipline, the instruction of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, by his torments, we are healed. That's our Father. That's the one I want to talk to you about just for a moment. Then we've got a Father. I want to say we've got a Father that holds us. In Psalm chapter 3, we find in verse 3, David, as he's in a cave hiding from the very son that he loves, is writing with a broken heart. Because he says, but thou, O Lord, matter of fact, let me read verse 1 to you. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help from him in God. Selah. But, Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. my glory. Here he goes, fellas. And the lifter up of mine head. And we're feeling spiritually down. He grabs that little spiritual head of ours and says, look up, boy. It's going to be okay. He's an upholder of us in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for this is our Father talking. I am with thee. That's our Father. Be not dismayed. For, here goes our Father again. I am thy God. Here goes our Father again. I will strengthen thee. Here goes our Father again. Yea, I will help thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He will uphold us. He's our Father. He's the Father of forgetfulness, the Father of our adoption, the Father of torment, and the Father that holds us. And then I want to say, not only does he do all those things, but he's the Father of the embrace. He gives us a great example of this in Luke chapter 15 and verse 18. I will rise. I will arise. Now remember who this is. That cocky, snotty, spoiled little brat that was born of a man that was a hard worker, had built his business from the ground up, decided he wanted his part of daddy's business, his inheritance. And daddy gave it to him reluctantly. And he went into the city. And there he squandered everything that dad had given him. He lost it all. And here in Luke chapter 15, we find him in ankle deep in swine's slop, in the pigsty, eating the food that was being served to the pigs. And he realizes, he comes to a realization, and then he says this. Remember, we're talking about the Father, our Father of the embrace. I will arise, the Son says, and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. This is a picture of our Father that received the broken son, that repentant child into his arms and into his embrace. But let me say, Christian, before he was able to enjoy the embrace of his Father, he had to come to the realization that he was living in sin. When he realized the world did not have what it took to make him happy, when he realized that true riches were down the road, across the bridge, around the bend at the Father's house, it was then his will broke. His spirit broke, and he headed home to see Daddy. I want to say that today, yes, today at Westside Baptist Church, there's some possibly in this room who needs to let their spirit break and to head toward Daddy's house. You've been living in sin too long, doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, where you want to do it, and God is just... they're waiting for you to come to the realization that you can't do it without him. And I want to say, if you'll come to him with a broken spirit and a humble heart, he'll embrace you and kiss you on the neck and bring you back into the fold. If you read this account, you'll find that daddy didn't kiss him on the neck and say, okay, boy, to the servant's quarters you go. You know what he did? He called the servants. He said, hey, get the best we've got. Put it on the grill. We're going to have a party. My boy's home, and I'm going to restore him. He left here as my son. He returned to me broken and willing and repentant, and he will be restored as my son again. And not only, I'm going to put the icing on the cake. I'm calling the jewelry store. He said, fellas, I want the biggest, baddest looking gold ring that you've got in the window. And here comes the jeweler running just as fast as he can. Hand it over to the daddy. And that daddy with love reached up and grabbed his boy's hand. Boy's hand said, stick your finger out here. I got something for you. And he put that thing on. And I can just see him raising his son's hand up for everyone to see the ring that was placed on his boy's hand. It was placed there because this boy broke. It was placed there because this boy repented. And ladies and gentlemen, Westside Baptist Church, God's waiting for you. This is our Father, the Father of embrace. Y'all having fun yet? Our Father, the Father of forgetfulness. Our Father, the Father of adoption. The Father of torment. Our Father, which holds us. Our Father, which embraces us. I guess you could say our Father is a hugger. He likes to hug on his children. I remember it's been about 10 years ago. Longer than that, I guess. No, it was 10 years ago. I was in the eye doctor's office sitting in the waiting room. Rachel was with me and Rebecca was with me. Rachel went and signed she and her sister in. Waiting room was full. She walked up to me and plopped down right in my lap. 16-year-old girl in public sitting in her daddy's lap. Two or three men and different ladies in the waiting room looked at me like I was kind of funny. Like there was something weird going on. I don't give a rip. She's 26 years old today, and she still sits in my lap. And she can sit there as long as she wants to. And I don't care who it makes me angry. I want to tell you, our Father, he's a hugger. But I want to tell you one last thing about our Father. Our Father is the Father of the resurrection. He resurrected old Lazarus. Remember the lady who was coming out with her boy in a casket? Came out of the city. The Lord was going in. She was coming out. The Lord reached up and touched that casket, and that boy sat straight up. Said, Mama, what am I doing in here? Remember Jairus' daughter? Everybody lamenting because the child is dead. Jesus walked in and says, she's asleep. They laughed him to scorn. He walked in, grabbed her by the hand. She got up, went outside, and rode her bicycle for the rest of the day. That's right. I'm talking about a resurrected Savior. The Savior of the resurrection. And by the way, those were just samples of what was yet to come. Because one day he climbed up on that cross for you and me. They didn't nail him there. He nailed himself there. He just used them to get the job done. He used Pilate, used Herod, used the Roman soldiers. He used the religious mess of that day. He used it all to put himself on Calvary's tree for you and me. 3 days later, he resurrected. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says when he resurrected, a bunch of the dead saints' bodies also resurrected. They walked the earth, and people saying, what's Uncle Bob doing up? What's he doing here? Now, I would like to think that if he was partly decayed, that he would not be at that time. That would be a little gross. But because I'm a little morbid, it just went through my mind. But he is a God, our Father of the resurrection. And lastly, listen to this. He's a Father of rapture. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it to you. Here's the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 1. He's about to leave his disciples. I'm going to give you in 3 seconds a 3-point outline for you to go home and study yourself. But he says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now let me tell you this in verse 8. You study this on your own time. There's a 3-point outline. Number one, we see Jesus is challenging the disciples. We see challenging them to serve. Secondly, we see he's giving them a chance to serve. And then lastly, he's giving them a charge to serve. You study that on your own. That's free. But in verse 9, our Father was raptured out when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Our Lord Jesus was raptured. Our Father was raptured right there before his disciples. And let me say to you, it's not going to stop there. We're about to blow this hot dog stand, children. The rapture is soon to come. It's going to happen, and we're going home. We're going home to see our Father of forgetfulness, to see our Father of adoption, to see our Father of torment, to see our Father that holds on to us, to see our Father that embraces us, to see our Father that is resurrected and has resurrected. He is the Father of rapture. We're going to blow this hot dog stand. Here it goes, sports fans. This is it. If you died today, would you go to heaven? If you don't know Jesus, you don't know this Father, we want to give you a chance in a minute to meet him. But can I say one thing? You know we're not having church this evening because of Father's Day. You know that. So if I take an extra minute, cool it. It's going to be okay. Today's Father's Day. And you know, during Father's Day, our children, what do? They'll get you a little card. They might get you a little gift. A tie or a shirt. I don't know. I haven't gotten anything yet today, Pastor. This might be a dry run for me. But the truth is, now just dads, listen to me, and I think you'll agree with me. The truth is that the little gifts that you get on Father's Day or even Christmas or birthdays from our children really don't mean a lot to us if they are not living their lives in a way that will make us proud. It really, a gift If you have a rebellious child that rebels against you, and then they show up with a $20 gift, it really, on some level, you feel like you're getting spit on. Like, really. You do this, you do that, you don't do this, you don't do that, and you say you love me, and then you give me a gift. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. You with me? Am I making sense, daddies? Recently, I had a talk with my youngest one, and I told her that very thing. I said, the gifts mean nothing if you don't do and live your life in a way that will make us proud of you. Anything outside of that is like being spit on. And those gifts mean nothing to me. So I'm asking you, and I asked Rebecca this just two nights ago, if you're not going to make me proud by living right, please, I don't want any gifts. Because it means nothing to me. I'm not your father. But I believe that our Father feels the same way. In 1 Samuel, I'll leave it there because I can't remember exactly the text, tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. Are we throwing our little gifts at God? It appeases our conscience. We feel pretty good about ourselves. Yep, I did that. Mm-hmm. But where is the obedience? You know, while we struggle in so many different areas of our Christian walk, it really is because we have just not decided we're going to be obedient. Well, I'm wrestling with this, I'm wrestling with that. Be obedient. Well, I'm trying, and I sacrifice, preacher. I do this, and I do that, and I do this. And no, he just first wants you to be obedient. All the other gifts stink. If you do what you do because you feel like you have to for God, you're not getting anywhere with him. But when we come to the service of God with an obedient spirit, it changes everything. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand, please. I want to ask a question, two questions, really. But I do ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. I don't want to do anything to embarrass anyone. But may I ask this morning, is there anyone in this room, anyone in this sanctuary this morning, that could tell me, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my personal Savior? There's never been a time in my life when I've recognized my wretchedness, my wrongfulness, my wickedness, and I had to have a Savior. There's never been a time when I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. I will not do anything to embarrass you. I will not come and get you. But would you raise your hand and say, preacher, I do not know Jesus. I cannot say he's our Father because he's not my Father. I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. Christian, what about you? We've talked about a great God. He's our Father if we know him. Praise the Lord. The question is, are we doing what we should do to make him proud of us? Are we living in a way that when we do offer a token, a gift, that is not spittle on his face. But he can embrace that gift because it's done out of total obedience to him. This morning, Christian, you may want to raise your hand and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me that I can find a way to be obedient, more obedient to our Father?" Thank you. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Hands went up all over the auditorium. Thank you. God bless you. Our Father. Obedience. Our obedience is better than sacrifice. Would you be willing this morning to come as we sing and the music is playing? Would you come this morning and say, "Lord, I not only do I want to serve, but I want to be obedient from the inside out. I want my service to be pure and righteous before you. Help me, Lord, to be more obedient concerning your cause." As we sing, the altar's open.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you.
Help me, Lord. I want to be that obedient child. I want to make you proud, Lord.
On the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. He who are weary,
obedient. Little boy, a lot of you know this. They had a little song called "Obedience is the Very Best Way to Show That You Believe." Does anybody remember that? Let's be obedient. Let's show the world that we truly believe. That we believe he can save them from their unrighteousness. That we believe he's a Savior soon to come. Let's show him we believe. Go ahead.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me.
Father, forgive me.
Please.